Good morning. I hope everyone is doing well. This is a beautiful day, and we're all blessed to be here. Today, we celebrate the baptism of our Lord, and today's gospel is a lesson that has a lot of godly and spiritual events occurring. There are a lot of things that come together at Jesus' baptism. There are a lot of things that come together at our baptism. No matter whether you were baptized as an adult or whether you were baptized as an infant, you were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Water was poured on your head, and then after that, the priest got some holy oil and marked on your forehead the cross. And he repeated the words, "You are marked as Christ's own forever." Nobody can take that away from you. That was a wonderful event for you and your family. But also, more than that occurred for you at your baptism. At that time, you began a road of ministry. A time in which you will go forth in the name of God to build up the kingdom of God, no matter where you are placed or where you are at. Also, what happened at that time is that you were guaranteed a divine inheritance. A divine inheritance from God that you can look forward to in your entire life. A time in which that will give you hope. No matter where you are in your life. At that time, you became holy people, and you are holy people. You are holy people with a heavenly call, and God is lighting up your path each and every day. First, let us consider John the Baptist. John is a certified wild man. Now, as you know, I came from South Carolina. I have seen some wild people. And you can ask Mom about that later on. He came from the wilderness. He dressed in what was likely the shedding of camel hair. So his coat was not that elegant camel hair coat that you might buy at a department store. The people who came to John for baptism were desperate. They were desperate people. They were not only desperate physically, but their souls were hungry and thirsty for something new. They knew that they needed a change in their lives. And certainly they had looked at other places, but they could find nothing that would change their lives or would satisfy their hunger. The only thing they knew that could change their lives was to be baptized. Now, the crowd is not a normal crowd. It's not this elite crowd. It's a mixed crowd of tax collectors, prostitutes, soldiers, and religious people like the scribes and the Pharisees. Some people may have been there to determine whether or not John was the Messiah. And John quickly told them, "No, I am not the Messiah. I am not the Messiah, but the one who is coming. I am not even worthy enough to untie his sandals. His name will be Jesus, and he will be the one that Scripture has told about for many centuries who will come and save his people." John said, "I came to baptize you with water," while Jesus would baptize you with the Holy Spirit and would baptize you with fire. And your soul at that time will be awakened and you will be transformed. And God will provide more for you than any of us can ever pray for or imagine. And that will be your call. The difference is that John the Baptist way is workable for a short term, but it is not the ultimate way that will provide you redemption for our sins. Jesus came to be baptized by John. But John's baptism was a washing for repentance. Now, Jesus didn't need to repent. So Jesus' baptism changed the meaning of baptism and started his road to ministry. Several things happened during Jesus' baptism. As Jesus was praying after the immersion, the heavens opened up. Think about being in that crowd at that moment. Here you have two great followers of God. You got John, and then you have Jesus, God's Son, and the heavens open up. There was an amazing event that was occurring. It was a divine event. It was a heavenly event, and everyone there was affected. Then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came down in a bodily form like a dove. Imagine, if you will, physical, visible, swirling and swooping down and coming into Jesus. The people were in awe, but they knew that they were seeing something special, and they knew that there was a paradigm shift that was occurring in the world and that they were part of it. Something outside of the normal reality is happening, and they were blessed. But that wasn't all. Then a voice, a thunderous voice, not this kind of casual blasé voice, but a thunderous voice said, "You are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." When they heard that, their whole body was transformed, and they knew that they were in the presence of something that God was part of in this earth, and they were amazed, and they were transformed, and they were changed. Everything we know about God and Israel prior to this time is focused at this moment and in this saying. This is God's anointed. And God's anointed is going to show us more than we would ever know. God is well pleased. God loves him, and he has identified as God's son. Jesus then looked out and saw the gathered tax collectors, prostitutes, other sinners, people who may be in need of healing, who have been baptized with him. And he felt good about that, because at that time he knew he was part of a community, and he knew that God had showed him a purpose. Now, these are the things that happened in Jesus' baptism. Jesus was given an identity. Jesus was given an identity. Jesus is God's son. Make no mistake about that. No matter how many other prophets or no matter how many other people are saying this, that, and yonder, that they're really God's son. No. That thunderous voice said, "This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Jesus is giving an identity as the Messiah. Then he was identified as the focus of God's love. All the care and love that God has for you and me and for those people and for all that God has created, all that love is poured into Jesus, and Jesus is called to spread that love no matter where he is. He's called to heal the blind. He's called to allow people who are lame to walk. He is called to heal the leper. And then after that, he's going to pass that divineness on to his disciples, and they are going to go out and spread the word that has been going on for over 2,000 years. He was identified as being very pleasing to God. And the reason why he was pleasing to God, because he was obedient and he was faithful. No matter how much people tempted to make him go in a different direction, no matter how much the evil one or the devil came and said, "I will give you all this if you'll come to me," he didn't do it. And what allowed him not to do it was his love for God and the Holy Spirit dwelling in his heart and soul. Then he was physically given God's Holy Spirit that will allow him to have new understanding, new enlightenment, see things in a different way, go forth in a different path that people had never seen before. And the Holy Spirit would give him strength, give him courage, trust. Then he was joined into a new group, those who were baptized by John, and he knew that he had a community of faith that would walk with him. Now, Jesus changed what baptism means for us. We receive the same gifts when we are baptized. We are given the gift of the Holy Spirit to allow us to go forth as well, no matter where we are in our walk, no matter where we are in life, no matter what problems we may have. The Holy Spirit does not leave us, and we are not abandoned. And I want you to have that message today. No matter where you are in life, you are not abandoned by God. There is the expectation that God's Spirit in us will lead us and lead all of our lives of holiness and true joy. If you are searching your heart for godly values and focus, if you are wondering where you can fix your life or fix a problem or a situation so that you can find your true self, look no further than the words our church offers today in the renewal of our baptismal vows. 4 times a year beyond the baptism, we can do the renewal of baptismal vows. It's today as we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. It is Easter, it's Pentecost, and then certainly All Saints. The first part of the renewal of our baptismal vows, we pledge what we believe. And the question is asked, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? And then the second part of the renewal of the baptismal vows is, now that you say you believe in all this, what are you going to do about it? And the church lays out what we are called to do. We're called to persevere. And that's a real important word, that persevere. We're called to persevere in resisting evil. We are to proclaim by word and deed and example in all that we do in our lives the good news of God in Christ. And Lord, help me, we need to continue to do that, to spread the good news. We need to seek and serve God in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves, no matter how hard that can be. And we are to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. So as we renew our own baptismal vows, may we take those vows seriously. And when we leave this church today and go out in the community, in all that we do, may we live into our own baptism and know that God loves us and take actions in both word and deed. Amen.